This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. Today is St. Patrick's Day, which got me wondering about who St. Patrick was and why the Irish celebrate him. To find out, I consulted with Tom Kennedy, an emeritus professor at the University of Arkansas. He's Irish in the sense that his family came from there about four generations ago, coming over in the mid-1800s during the Great Famine in Ireland. They settled in Ohio and Kentucky. Tom was raised in an Irish-American tribe. He began our conversation recalling a bit from his childhood and his interest in Irish history.
My father, at one time, in the great Irish tradition, owned a bar. And when he owned the bar, it was near the University of Dayton. And so he always had a big St. Patrick's Day party. And even when I was a fairly small boy, my mother would take us there for a while, I guess before I got too crazy. I got used to that, and so, yeah, I sort of kept up with it. I've worked in Irish history and written on Irish history some, and I've, in fact, spent a lot of time in Belfast the last few years, so.
Well, so St. Patrick's Day, who is St. Patrick?
Well, I think we're fairly sure who St. Patrick was. He wasn't Irish. He was a Briton. And he came to Ireland early on, that is sometime in the early part of the 5th century. Now, remember, that's about 430, 440, something like that. Supposedly, he was kidnapped by pirates, brought to Ireland, sold into slavery, and stayed there, was forced to stay there until he escaped. And when he escaped, he went back to Britain and then finally over to Gaul, took holy orders in a seminary in Gaul, in Roman Gaul. Remember, the Romans are still very much around at this time. Determined that he would go on a mission back to Ireland to convert the Irish, who were at that time overwhelmingly pagan people. So
Catholicism.
Convert him to Catholicism, right. Well, that was the Christianity mm-hmm. that existed. So he, you know, there's a lot of famous things about Patrick in Ireland. Supposedly he drove off the snakes. He used the shamrock, you know, the three leaf green clover, to illustrate the idea of the Trinity. You know, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, mm-hmm. three on one leaf, and so on. And those are the things for which he was famous. The celebration of St. Patrick's Day is for his death, not his birth, because I don't know when he was born, but supposedly or traditionally he died on the 17th of March, and so that's how the idea of a day celebrating St. Patrick came into being. In Ireland, it was celebrated for a long time, a religious holiday. People would go to Mass. Now, I'm speaking about, this is back 1,000 years. They go to Mass in the day, celebrate St. Patrick, and then take the rest of the day off, and there would be, you know, partying and dancing and music and drinking and so on. And that became really an aspect of Irish culture on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, so what's the deal with the shamrock? Why?
Well, I mean, the whole idea with the shamrock was, of course, it did illustrate. He used it to illustrate, mm-hmm. supposedly, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, you know, three in one, mm-hmm. three gods in one person. It also is they developed the connection with green. Green is of course, I don't know if you've been to Ireland, but Ireland is a very green country. There's a lot of rain, a lot of green, and so the whole connection between Patrick and Ireland and green and so on is mm-hmm. from that shamrock, I suppose.
Well, so then today in Ireland, how do they celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Well,
how do the Irish?
That's interesting. In the most of the 20th century, St. Patrick's Day was a holy day of obligation. It's an overwhelmingly Catholic country. I mean, that is the Republic of Ireland. And so people went to Mass, but all the pubs were closed, and this was by law. A law that was passed in 1903, the Catholic Church had become sort of censorious and worried about over the too much drinking. Irish, I guess, are famous for too much imbibing. So, you know, for several generations, St. Patrick's Day was not a dancing, drinking occasion, except perhaps in private homes. It wasn't a public event at all, which is very much different. Of course, the whole business of the parade is an American development. The first St. Patrick's Day parade was in 1762, I think, and it was by Irish soldiers in the British Army in New York who wanted to have a celebration and who had this staged this parade. And that tradition continued after American independence. Most of the Irish who came to America prior to the middle of the 19th century were Protestants. Many of the middle-class Protestants.
Not Catholics.
No, the Catholics were, by and large, stayed in Ireland. Most of them didn't have very much, but and so the Irish Catholics took hold of this whole St. Patrick's Day event and turned the parade not just into a cultural event, but a political event as well. And it was, you know, the famous connection with Tammany Hall, the Democratic headquarters in New York, famous for corruption and so on. They took charge of that, of the parade. So from about 1848, Irish aid groups like the Ancient Order of Hibernians united with other Irish aid groups and put on what now has become the oldest civic parade, I suppose, in America. In the United States, the whole idea of this parade spread. And it's interesting that the first town, the first city besides New York that had a considerable St. Patrick's Day parade was Savannah, Georgia. Don't know particularly why, but that Savannah followed, and then Chicago, Cincinnati.
Well, and then now then here.
Well, I guess they have one here. Yeah. But, of course, the people who are engaged in it, by and large, are not Irish or of Irish extraction. It's just the idea of, well, let's have fun. Let's have a celebration. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about.
I'm assuming then that Americans have then, with the green beer and the green river, or that Americans then decided that you should wear green on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, not precisely, okay. Actually. There was a tradition in Ireland of Irish patriots. You know, Ireland was an English a part of the United Kingdom, and from 1801 was united with England and Scotland and Wales in the United Kingdom. But there was always a strong underlying Irish nationalism. And one of the ways in which that was expressed in Ireland is, as the as they say, the wearing of the green, you know, that they would they'd put on green things and wear shamrocks and so on. So it's not exclusive to the United States. But, of course, now we have this tradition here which has gone far beyond the Irish Americans. You know, it is kind of interesting. I didn't mention, but one of the places where they have a very large St. Patrick's Day celebration is in Argentina. Of course, there's an Argentine Pope, so I suppose that may have an effect on the celebration in Argentina.
Well, what is it? 40% of the world's Catholics are in South America. Isn't that what they've been saying?
That's right. Yeah.
Well, so today in Ireland, what's going on?
Well, today in Ireland, they finally figured it out, actually. The prohibition against opening pubs ended some part of the late 1970s. And into the 80s, finally, somebody in the Irish government figured out that it would really be a good idea to hold a St. Patrick's Day celebration to bring in tourists, because tourism, of course, has for a long time been a major source of revenue for Irish people and the Irish government. So in the 1980s, they finally got the idea of a great St. Patrick's Day feast and celebration. So nowadays in Dublin, they have this huge celebration where up to 1 million people come in, you know, and they have this giant. But they finally got the message, and so St. Patrick's Day in Ireland is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Where does this like corned beef and cabbage, you know, like I feel like that's kind of something that people cook and eat on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I'm not sure that's so traditionally Irish as it is Irish American, mm-hmm. actually. You know, I think I mentioned before, in the 19th century, up until the famine days, Irish peasants ate enormous amounts of potatoes. An Irish male, a peasant, ate, this is true, it's been 10 pounds of potatoes a day, practically no meat.
It's a cabbage, lot of potatoes.
potatoes, just boiled potatoes. Cabbage, of course, is another very inexpensive, easy to get thing. So I suppose they did cabbage too. So I don't think corned beef and cabbage is anything that comes from the old country. I think it's more American.
Okay, what else?
And I hope people will have a good celebration on St. Patrick's Day, and I hope that I can celebrate it many, many years to come.
Yes, well, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, same to you.
Imagine never being alone ever again. Imagine sharing your innermost thoughts with your best friend, a robot.
When we construct robots, we are changing ourselves. We are changing what we are willing to consider a relationship.
I'm Guy Raz, the promise and the peril of our robot overlords. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, beginning today at noon here on KUAF.